Do you know a high schooler who is a natural leader and loves to give back to their community? The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Student Visionaries of the Year program might be the perfect opportunity. Forming strong teams to support them, Student Visionaries of the Year candidates fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This 7-week philanthropic leadership development program helps students gain valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Not to mention, it looks great on college applications. But most importantly, it's a chance for students to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on the lives of blood cancer patients and their families. Learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It is Sunday, July 31st, and we are still in the last day of the month, answering your financial questions. You know, Mark and I are both certified financial planners, and we would love to chat with you. If you want to come on the air live with us, all you need to do is to complete the contact us form that pops up when you hit that button. Check the box that says you'd be willing to come on the air and come a little bit prepared. Have your documentation if you need it. If you have not done your estate documents, just be prepared to be shamed. Maybe we're the nudge that gets you over the hump, okay? Today, we're talking to Janine. She's on the line from Washington State.
Hi, Jill. Well, today I was wanting to find out some information. My husband is active duty Army, and we've got about 4 years left till he retires. And we are trying to figure out what should we be doing now to get ready for that big transition. We don't know what employment's going to be like. Are we going to be moving? What do we need to be thinking about now?
Right. And you're so smart to do it with 4 or 5 years before, because, you know, if you wait till 4 or 5 months, you can't really change the outcome, right?
So, right.
So tell me a little bit about you guys. How old are you?
I'm 42 and he's 46.
Okay.
We've been married for a long time. Let's see, about 15 years. It'll be next month.
I thought she's a long time. Yeah, that's not that long, but okay. That's a good number. That's a good tenure. You have any kids?
Yes, we have 3 kids, a 12-year-old, 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old.
Oh, brother, you got your hands full. And are you home full-time with those kids? Because
yes.
That sounds like
a
lot.
Yes, I am.
Sorry, sounds like a lot. Do you own a home?
Yes, we have a home. It's currently mortgaged. We have we're about halfway paid off, so our mortgage is about $250-ish.
Okay,
and we have about 13 years left.
And how much would you guess the house is worth?
I'm guessing we could probably sell it for about $450.
Okay, that's great. And the mortgage, it's at a decent rate?
Yeah, it's at 2.9%.
What?
Yeah, it's a 15-year. We refinanced like last year.
Okay, and, got it.
Yeah.
Well, so you're open to moving elsewhere in
We're
4 years.
We do like where we live, and we think that we could get job and employment, that kind of thing here. But, you know, we are open to moving. So, yeah, like there's just so many unknowns.
Yeah, I know. Where are you guys from originally?
Originally, I'm from Montana. He's originally from Idaho. We met and married when I was still in the Army, and then Pacific Northwest is kind of where we like to think
about. Of course. That's fantastic. And, I mean, you do have, like, it sounds like a pretty sweet deal in terms of you got a great mortgage at a good rate. You like your home. Mm-hmm. The kids, like, you're not busting out of it. It's not like you're saying, oh, I got to get out of here. It's too small.
Right. Right. We kind of fit where we are.
So all right. Like so that. Let's try to stick around there. Now, you said you too served. How long were you in the service?
I was only in for 5 years. He owed more time than I did, so we decided not to be dual military, and he could finish out his hitch, and then he decided to end up staying for the long haul. So,
oh my gosh! So, what does he do? The reason I'm asking, what kind of jobs would he be looking for in 4 years?
So, he's a physician in the Army, but he's internal medicine, and he is subspecialized, but he could do kind of a little bit of internal medicine, like primary care, mm-hmm. or he's specialist in endocrinology, so he could specialize as well.
Mm. So he's employable. This is sweet.
Yeah,
we're not
exactly.
worried. I'm not worried at all. I got right. nervous. I thought you were going to tell me he had some weird special right. expertise that only used for like military something or others. Okay.
He's employable for sure.
Okay. He's got to know. How much do doctors in your area earn?
That's a very good question. I don't think he does know. I don't think I'm the planner in the family.
Oh.
So I've done more of this legwork. So
okay. Let's find that out. Let's find out. I don't know where you live. I'm going to make it up. But let's just say you live in Seattle, because Washington State means exactly one. Is that terrible? Give me another town to pick.
Tacoma is close. Olympia is close.
Okay. So let's go to Tacoma. This is what I think you should do. You're going to put on your investigative journalistic hat, and you're going to say, how much does a primary care physician make in Tacoma? And how much do endocrinologists make in Tacoma? You probably can find this out. He probably, honestly, you could, whatever the closest med school is, they probably have all this data floating around.
Right.
But
right.
I mean, look, the one thing about doctors, I understand medicine is changing. But as my dear friend, Deborah, the dermatologist, just said to me, the good news about being a doctor is you can always get a job. No matter what.
Right.
You may not
right.
like your pay, but you can always get a job.
Right.
So he's
exactly.
going to have a job, and he is going to be able to support a $250,000 mortgage. So
for
now
sure. yeah.
let's go backwards a second. So I don't think you're going to have to move. Do your kids, do you want to send them to private school or public school, or where are they right now?
Right now they go to public school, and we're happy with the school that they're in. They're doing well. And as far as going to college, I don't have any, you know, aspirations that they're going to be, you know, going to MIT or anything big, fancy or anything like that. But I would like them to get a college education and, you know, be able to support themselves, because I don't have a basement and a couch. So
I understand. For right now, tell me what is in the left side of the balance sheet. So how much money do you have in savings?
So right now we have about $30,000 just for emergency fund. We've got some retirement. He's been contributing to the thrift savings plan.
Yep.
And we're at $450,000 with that.
$450,000 as in $450,000?
Right.
You said it very nonchalantly, like it was $4.50.
No.
So I was pausing to give you kudos and say $450,000 is a good number. That's awesome.
Yes. Yes.
What about you? Do you have old retirements floating around?
I have an old TSP, which only has $48,000 in it. It just sits there. It doesn't really do anything, but I didn't do anything else with it. It's just there.
Okay.
We both have Roth IRAs. I just switched mine over last year, and it's at $130,000.
Okay. Great.
And then he has a Roth IRA at $150,000. And then we have a couple of just non-retirement investment accounts that we put extra stuff in, and one's at 40 and one's at 48.
This is a good story. I'm liking this story. 5, 6, 7, 30 and 48 here. So $800,000. So that's fabulous. What happens when he retires from the Army? Will he be entitled to a pension?
Yes, he will be earning a pension. And so he starts earning that immediately upon retirement. And so he will be getting, it looks like about annually after taxes, if we do the after tax 28%, which is what the calculator online shows, it's about $56,000 a year.
I'm so psyched for you.
I mean, you're
in great shape.
About this kind of stuff, but I also feel like, there's still so much unknown. And
okay, relax. Come on. You're doing a great job. Here's what I think you should be doing. Over the next 4 years, and probably like in the next year, he and you should really start thinking about like, well, what do I want to do? Do I want to be a primary care doc or not? I think the cool thing about the pension is this gives him an interesting opportunity to do what he wants to do, not just grab the money.
Right.
So if he says, I really want to take care of old, sick people with kidney disease, or whatever, thyroid disease. Uh-huh. Isn't that thyroid disease?
Yeah,
then do internal medicine and grind out zillions of people coming into an office. Uh-huh. He can have the choice because he's got this 56 grand coming in. I mean, he's got to make 200 grand a year. He's a as a physician.
I'm guessing at least that.
Right.
That even if he did primary care, that's sort of my ballpark.
I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking also. And so, you know, on the 200 plus the 56, even, you know, you're in great shape. And you can put money away as you are currently doing. Is there any reason why you would consider opening a 529 plan for the kids?
Oh, we have those already in underway also.
Very good. How much in those approximately?
So for the 12-year-old, she's got 46. For the 9-year-old, 40. And for the 5-year-old, it's 26. And we just kind of keep pecking away at those every month, too.
Okay. You know what? You've got to calm down. You're in amazing shape. The only thing that I would do in anticipation of the transition is he should take some time off for sure. Mm-hmm. Like that's just real life. So that means beef up your emergency reserve fund so that he can just take some time and chill out. You know why? He's never going to have the chance to do it again until he retires. He's just not. The thing that people will do is they'll say, I just want to get started as soon as possible. Don't do that. Take the time. I mean, this from the person, I have so many, like, I don't have regrets about anything except I have regrets that at a time where I could have taken a really clean break, I didn't. And that was dumb.
Yeah, that's, and it is a big change moving from being in the all military world to the all civilian. It's a whole new culture. And
do you think it's going to be harder for him to deal with the crazies that come into his office?
I don't know about the crazies. I think just the pace, I think he's really, the military medical system is very blessed that you can take more time with your patients and it's not a, you know, see 30 patients in one day kind of thing.
Right.
And I think they just want you to be a workhorse when you're a civilian. And so
that's going to be a transition. So I think that he can be a little choosy about maybe more of a lifestyle practice rather than one of these cranking, crazy places where you do have to do that. I mean, what you have done for yourselves in being such good savers is give yourselves opportunity to have a really great next career. Okay, that's it. That's the program. We thank you so much for listening. Now, you know, at the end of the show, I say, can you do something nice for someone else today? I'm going to ask you to do something nice for us. Would you mind leaving us a rating and review on Apple? That would be really great. Otherwise, do put your hands metaphorically on someone's back. Try to reach out. It's very good for us to all feel connected. Grit, growth, grace. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.